Hello, I'm Pastor Steve Igo from Cedar Church, located in Jenison, Michigan. I'm glad you joined us to listen to this message. If you would like additional information on Cedar Church, stay tuned after this sermon. This message was recorded at one of our weekly services, and I hope you find it challenging. Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans. We'll read chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, working through the passages here in Romans chapter 5. On the benefits of salvation. Tonight's theme, the blessings of justification being rejoicing in suffering. Romans 5, 3 and 4, listen closely, this is God's inspired word. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. So ends the reading of God's word. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that these words from the pen of your apostle and the lips of your preacher would be a blessing to your people. We pray that we would again rejoice in the many benefits of our justification through Jesus Christ. Lord, teach us this treasure we have. We are saddened that we are often lured by the trinkets of this world, the fool's gold of this present evil age, and teach us to see our riches in Christ Jesus and to rejoice. We ask in Jesus' name, let us say, amen. Well, during the 18 and 1900s, the church in the nation of China grew quite well, really. These were years in church history in that land of relative peace. About 840,000 Chinese became Christians during those years. But in the year 1950, that all changed. Persecution struck. The communists took over China, and for many decades, they severely persecuted Christians. Communication with the outside world ended. And the Western church openly wondered, why has God allowed suffering to afflict the church in China? Will it even survive? Well, later in the 1970s, China declared a more open-door policy and communication with the outside world resumed. And what did we find? The Chinese church had grown to 50 million members. Chinese scholar Dr. Jonathan Chow tells us that China's suffering produced character. Character produced hope. And hope produced survival with an amazing ability to win others to Christ during hard times. And so Dr. Cho poses a counter question, and it's this. If God loves the Western church so much, why hasn't he allowed us to suffer like the church in China? And that brings us to our first point in tonight's sermon, and that is our inadequate view about the value of suffering. Our inadequate view about the value of suffering. Now let's pause to catch our breath and gain our context. Justification is the theme Paul is writing about here in this section of the book of Romans. That is the bigger topic. And justification, we've studied it for months. It is being right with the living God. Sins forgiven, the goodness of Jesus imputed to you, your evil imputed to Jesus and nailed on the cross. It's a wonderful, lovely, beautiful doctrine. Justification provides us with many benefits. It's like a multifaceted diamond on a ring. Romans 5, 1 through 11 is a celebration of many of those benefits. Romans 1 through 3 told us about our desperate need to be justified. We are sinners under the wrath of God. Romans 3 and 4 reveal the way to be justified by grace through faith in Jesus alone. And here in chapter 5, we learn the benefits. And there are many. We've studied a few in the past several weeks. We've studied, firstly, having peace with God in verse 1. We've also studied having access to God in verse 2 and a firm standing with the living God in verse 2. And we have a hope of glory. Now, this sounds pretty nice. You might say, sounds great, Pastor. Sounds like a wonderful sermon series on a lovely, lazy summer Sunday evening. Until Paul mentions the next benefit. Let's look at verse 3. He says, not only so, but we rejoice in our suffering. Now that's odd. Modern culture rejects this. The whole premise of American life is avoid suffering. Am I not right? That's the noble goal of so much of our industry and our approach. Americans try to smother pain with pleasure. We call it hedonism today, but we learned it from those long ago Epicureans from the 3rd century. Those ancient Epicureans who thought about human suffering in the 3rd century taught us that life is a mixture of the good and the bad, and since you cannot avoid the bad, then pack in as much pleasure as you can. And so that is why today in America we have entire industries dedicated to drowning pain with pleasure, entertainment, recreation. And this Epicurean view of pain, I would say, probably appeals to my generation. Now, my mom and dad's generation, well, they like to hang out with what I call the Stoics. They were also Greek philosophers in the 3rd century, and they viewed pain oh so differently than us Gen Xers. Stoics said you gotta put up with pain. You need a stiff upper lip to put up with it and manage it to get by. You see, Stoics believed that courage and willpower is all one needs to take the sting out of pain. And so the Stoics did not smother pain with pleasure like the young whippersnappers. No, they said you beat it by fighting it, and you don't give in. That's Stoicism. Well, Christian scholars for many centuries have pointed out that neither one of these approaches is distinctly Christian, hedonism or Stoicism, because tonight Paul says that Christians who are justified by faith in Christ are to rejoice in our suffering. Literally, we are to rejoice in our tribulations and pressures as Christians. And what's fascinating is that little word in, points out Martin Lloyd-Jones in his commentary. You see, what Paul does not say we are to rejoice in spite of our suffering. In other words, when bad things happen, we should just go on rejoicing anyway. Nor does Paul say in this text we are to rejoice in the midst of our sufferings. That is a good thing to do, but Paul is not saying that here. He says we are to rejoice in our sufferings, on account of our sufferings, actually because of our sufferings. Not in spite of them, not in the midst of them, not only when we can smother them with enough pleasure to get through them, or not when we have enough courage to fight it tooth and nail and not let it get the victory. No, Christians are to glory in our tribulations as Christians. All right, so maybe like me, you're reading this passage and you're saying, well, I wonder if Paul just wrote this when he was in a good mood. You know, maybe using a little dramatic hyperbole. Jesus at times used hyperbole to prove a point, right? You know, plucking out the eye and cutting off the hand are our hyperboles that we literally don't do just to get us going in the right direction. Is Paul overstating his case? Well, no, because you see, this teaching is not unique to Paul. This teaching is the universal teaching in the Bible. Our Lord Jesus in Matthew 5, verse 10 through 12 said this, "Blessed are you when men shall despise you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, because great is your reward in heaven." The Apostle James says it in James 1, 2, and 3. We read it earlier. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. The Apostle Peter jumps in 1 Peter 4, verse 12, when he says, "Do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ." So there it is, the apostolic conspiracy. They're all saying it. Jesus and his appointed apostles. Christians are not to merely put up with the problem of pain. We are to not ignore the problem of pain, and we're not philosophically embarrassed by the problem of pain. No, we are to rejoice on account of this pain. So this brings us to our next point, rejoicing in suffering. So how do we do this? Well, I do think it may be helpful firstly to say what this is not saying. What are we not to do? This verse is not teaching Christian masochism. Now, before you chuckle, I'm going to give you a little history lesson too. A masochism is a psychological illness of finding extreme pleasure in physical pain. Notice it is an illness. For example, in our day, we have seen a shocking rise in a phenomenon called cutting. And cutting is when people, in order to handle the pain they experience psychologically, cut their skin to feel better. And maybe you know someone who suffers from this problem. And if you do, please help them seek help. Because this isn't right. Christians are not masochists. It's assumed in Hebrews 12, verse 11, we're not masochists. Look what the writer of Hebrews says. He says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful." And so when you and I endure pain, this verse tells us we don't like it. We're not to like it. It's painful. When we go through pain, we don't put a silly grin on our face and say, "Hooray for pain!" Now, you might laugh and think I'm building a straw man by this point, but that is not the case. Church history has been plagued by certain members of the church who actually teach this. I think back to the 4th century desert hermits who practice flagellation, whipping yourself. Not to be confused by a name of the similar pronunciation. This became popular in the Middle Ages, in monasteries and in deserts, as a form of spiritual maturing, of spiritual maturation. There was an 11th century zealot named Dominicus Loricatus who once repeated the entire Psalter 20 times in 1 week, and at the end of each psalm, he would lash his own back 100 times. All right, now this kind of extreme penance was practiced in the dark ages of the church. And there were other things with it as well. There were all-night prayer vigils with no sleep, frequent fasting to the point of malnourishment, wearing itchy and uncomfortable hairy shirts against your skin, all done as a show of piety and penance. This is not taught in the scriptures. I think of Francis of Assisi, who once asked his body, whom he called Brother Mule, to please forgive him for how he had mistreated it. And so this is not what the Bible means by rejoicing and suffering, nor is it what the Bible means by a close cousin, a phrase called the mortification of the flesh. That is not what the Bible teaches. Rejoicing in suffering is different. It happens when a Christian encounters a trial. It makes us sad, and rightly so. And so Christians do not stop there because we know something is connected to that suffering. That's what verse 3 teaches here. Look at it again, verse 3. Paul says, "We rejoice in our sufferings because we know," and then he tells us something. We rejoice in our sufferings because we know they produce something. Stop there. God has a purpose, says the Apostle Paul, in his divine allowance of suffering into our lives such that justified people can rejoice. Now, we're not rejoicing in the pain per se. We're rejoicing in what it produces. suffering, says Paul in verse 3, produces something. Now, by the way, that verb reminds us that the thing suffering produces is a process. Okay? It's not instantaneous. Like, what in life do we ever produce that's like instantaneous? Very little. The fact that suffering is producing something teaches us, Paul here, that this is a process. It is a treatment over time that produces a final and delightful product over time. Not that moment. Maybe not the next day. Maybe not the next week. Maybe not the next year. It's producing something beautiful in God's time. Now, the pain's not thrilling. I grant you that. Our Lord Jesus would grant you that. All of the apostles would grant you that. That's not the fun part. But the product thrills us, and it makes us rejoice. Well, what exactly does it rejoice? Well, before I get to the three obvious words in our text, let's just look at a few more places in the Bible that tell us a few other things that suffering produces. Elsewhere in the Bible, firstly, we see that suffering, pain, can produce correction. It can produce correction. Look at Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves and punishes everyone he accepts as a son." Now, the reason I mention this first is because I believe this is a very healthy question Christians ought to ask of ourselves when we face pain. It's a fair question. Am I being corrected? Am I being rightly corrected? Is God correcting me through this pain? Have I strayed from the path and need to be brought? That's what the Word of God does. It is profitable for teaching, for rebuke, for correcting, and training back onto the path of righteousness. Is that happening through this pain I am experiencing? It's a great question. But it's not the only cause of pain. It's not the only purpose of pain. Other times in the Bible, we observe that pain in a Christian may not be correction. Sometimes pain simply produces glory to God. In John 9, there was a blind man sitting by the gate. The disciples assumed his blindness was a punishment for his sins or the sins of his parents. And in John 9, verse 3, Jesus answers their question with this word, "No." He says in John 9, "No, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." We see it also in the life of Job. Job was a happy and favored man, and so Satan accuses Job in the presence of God, saying, you know, Job loves and serves God because God's made him rich. God knows it's not true. He allows Satan to test him. And Job held on to God. In Job 1:21, Job said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Sometimes pain is simply God allowing his glory to shine through our hard circumstance. Now let me pause for a moment of advice before we now go into the three benefits mentioned in Romans. I think that this particular reason of pain can at times simply be there to be producing glory for God through our hardships is what you and I should assume when we see our friends suffer. I think we need to be very careful to not make the same mistake as the friends of Job. Do you remember the mistake of the friends of Job? They spent many chapters for us to read trying to prove to Job that he was being punished for a sin he committed. And I urge you to not assume that your friend, your family, your neighbor has done something bad that needs God's correction when you see suffering in their life. It's fine to assume it about us, yourself. That's a great first question. What have I done wrong? But it is the worst first question for you to assume of your friend. What have you done wrong? But here in Romans, now we're back. We're back to Romans. We've described two other themes for the purpose and product of suffering. But here, back in Romans, Paul describes another reason why justified Christians can rejoice in our sufferings. Pain is an agent by which justified Christians are sanctified. Pain produces godly character. Suffering leads to glory in the life to come, but suffering grants us maturity in the here and now. Why do you look around and see some Christians are seasoned, weathered, experienced, character-filled? It's so beautiful. I think some of the most beautiful creatures on earth have the most wrinkles and the most gray hair of all. Why? You know, young person, I'm very happy to be 51. I'm happier to be 51 than when I was 21. And when I was 21, I was glad to be 21 and not 11. Everybody feels that way. But one reason why I am glad to be this is because there are benefits that have been accrued to me through the suffering God has sent into my life. Firstly, Paul enumerates three here in Romans chapter 5, 3 and 4. And you saw them. Firstly, there is perseverance. You can rejoice in your suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance means the ability to endure, to press on through adverse circumstances that earlier in your life would have made you quit. Very much so like the church in China for many hidden decades. Or like that athlete who endures pain and pain and pain to increase stamina. Or like people who are on a diet and who endure hunger pain and hunger pain and hunger pain in order to lose weight and gain health. There are physical laws, dear church, and there are spiritual laws. God sends suffering in the lives of Christians to make us more reliable when the heat is on. In fact, I think that's often what separates new Christians from old Christians. See, often when we're young in the faith, we're trying to avoid difficulties and get away from them. The experienced Christian is steady under them and will actually walk into some of them eyes wide open because they know. Perseverance is a reason to rejoice. Second reason Paul mentions here is character. Suffering produces character. And character is when an experienced person has passed the test. That's character. You and I, as Christians united to Jesus, actually gain character by drawing nearer to Jesus. And that's what pain makes us do over the years. It's just not the fact of the physical pain that builds our character. It's the fact of the physical pain forcing us to get closer to Jesus to survive that actually builds the character. Have you ever noticed when the Lord sends pain in your life, you're spending more time thinking about God. You're spending more time praying to God about the pain, pleading with God over the pain, asking God for strength and character during the pain. And we're doing all of that using the means of grace, exercising the means of grace, all because of the pain. And what happens, dear church, when God takes the pain away? Well, I'll tell you what happens when the weather gets good. People skip church. And if good weather is a symbol of when things are going well, then you're going to see where I'm getting at. You see, when things start going good, we're skipping church, skipping prayer, skipping devotion, skipping God, growing farther, farther, farther away. But when things get bad, when the winter comes, we're back. It's the pain driving us to God and his means of grace. And so simply being in the presence of Jesus, more desperately because of our pain, we grow in character. And thirdly, the last benefit Paul mentions in this little verse tonight is hope. Hope is assurance of what will one day be ours. You see, in our pain, we see God build our endurance. And in our pain, we see God build our character. And so with every successful step of growth, we become more and more and more confident of the hope of glory that waits for us. Because each progressive step in this life shows us going from glory to glory to glory. It builds your hope in final glory. You say, look how much God has done in my life this year, this decade, this half century. And it makes you look forward with optimism that God will do it on and on. And so let me close, dear church, with this conclusion. Perseverance, character, and hope. Those are the three benefits that are enjoyed and are enhanced by justified Christians through pain. I want to read to you a quote from a journalist turned Roman Catholic by the name of Malcolm Muggeridge. He once wrote this: I can say with complete truthfulness that everything I have learned in my 75 years in this world, everything that has truly enhanced and enlightened my existence, has been through affliction and not through happiness. In other words, if it ever were possible to eliminate affliction from our earthly existence by means of some drug, as envisioned in Huxley's Brave New World, the result would be to make life too banal and trivial to be endurable. This, of course, is what the cross signifies. And it is the cross that has called me inexorably to Christ. Can I close by drawing this to your attention, that our Lord Jesus himself also enjoyed many benefits because of his encounter with pain for our salvation. We know Jesus was a man of sorrows. He was born and lived in a very painful world, so that Hebrews 4:16 says, he could sympathize with your weakness and yet be without sin. And so he prayed painfully. He sweat droplets of blood in the garden and there proved himself perfect through enduring suffering, Hebrews 2:11. And then he went to the shameful and painful death on the cross, Philippians 2:8, to win our salvation. He won your salvation the only possible way it could be won, through pain and death. And the Bible says Jesus considered it joy, pure joy, not the excruciating physical pain, not the weeping in the garden, the sweat and the crying out, but because what it produced, your salvation. Let us grow, let us live and grow in that very same pain produced salvation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are with us in life's darkest moments, life's most painful moments. We thank you that one day that pain will be fully and utterly eliminated. But we praise you that you are so sovereign and so good and so righteous in this fallen and sinful world. You are able to take pain and to produce very desirable benefits. We thank you, Lord, for that joy that we know that in the pain we experience are many benefits of the redemption of Jesus for us. So teach us to face our pain with this courage. We pray that you would build in us perseverance, character, and hope. We pray, O Lord, that you would correct us when we go the wrong path, and that when there's mystery over the pain, that we would attribute it for your glory, whether we see it or not. Thank you for each person in this room. We pray that as each unique cross we all bear is required of us, that you would teach us to have an attitude of rejoicing, even the courage to give voice to those words of rejoicing, even to share that rejoicing with those around us as we walk through this valley of pain. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and let us say, amen. This message was brought to you by Cedar Church, a newer church in Jenison, Michigan, belonging to a historic denomination, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Our weekly Sunday services are held at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. For additional information, or if we can be of assistance to you, please feel free to contact me, Pastor Steve, at 616-669-9151 or at the church website.